Well, it's my privilege to introduce a very good friend of mine that I've known for about 30 minutes. Associate pastor at First Baptist Church in Thermopolis, and also has the unique role of being in the state legislature, four terms, House District 28. And so that's got to be a unique combination of hats to wear. And so we appreciate him being here. Originally from Arkansas, I know this because I have his bio here with me. And but his father pastored in Cheyenne, so there's a connection there to Wyoming. And as we got to talking, learned that he went to seminary down in Southern California. I got a master's from West Coast College, and of course, when you go to seminary, sometimes you meet your spouse there. And so met his wife, Christy, there. Three children, one daughter, two boys. And in the process of adopting also. Apparently he has lots of time, so looking for... probably the most important thing to know is that he's part of a network of pastors in Wyoming. And my sense is it's not just something that's been organized and put together, but a movement. And so we're wanting to just learn and glean from that. So would you help me to welcome our guest speaker here?
Well, thank you, Brother Chai. I was expecting, because Brother Dick Penn said that this was what's going to happen, I thought that Brother Chai was going to have an emotive dance routine for my introduction there, but I guess not, Brother.
I didn't practice.
Didn't practice. All right. Well, it is a privilege to speak with you today, and it was last year sometime that I had the privilege of meeting Brother Pence, and I really appreciate he and Nancy inviting me into their home last night and taking care of me. And also, I've looked forward tremendously to speaking to you because the issues in front of us are of vital importance, and there's no way to overemphasize what we're facing today. And so, as we talk about the pastor's network here, I want to start off by saying I'm thankful to see this number of people interested and involved in making sure that the future of this country remains secure for people of faith. When you talk about what we're approaching here today, we're talking about upholding the basic elements that hold up a civil society. That is elemental. That's what we're doing. Because we believe that Christian principles, when exercised, bring about freedom. That's the reason why Solomon wrote in Proverbs 29, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. He understood something all those years ago. And that's the reason that honest Christians here understand something. We believe that there is a truth that is higher than man's opinion. We recognize the words that the psalmist wrote some 3,000 years ago, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Amen. And we as Christians in America are the inheritors of a profound dream, a vision of a land where men can live according to the dictates of their consciences within the confines of very specific and limited laws. We've been the privileged people that have inherited a belief that the freedom of the mind is the most basic right of a free society. Throughout history, it hasn't always been recognized as such. The historians Ted and Chris Stewart studied this out, and they said that they believe that maybe 4 to 4.5% of all humanity have actually been in control of their own destinies and lives. I've been reading a little book to our children written by Rush Limbaugh. And it's a novel written about a fellow named Rush Revere. And he's a history teacher. And he wears old clothes like Paul Revere would have worn. And the funny thing about it, only Rush Limbaugh could come up with this. What he has is a talking horse that helps him teach. And this talking horse, whenever he holds his breath, disappears. And also somehow this talking horse that disappears can also time travel to anywhere in American history. It's very rich. But I've been teaching our children, because this book that we've been reading together at night before we go to bed, this book talks about the importance of religious liberty and the right to a free conscience. That's the reason why our forefathers came to this land in the very beginning. Our fathers knew this. And many years after the founding of the Jamestown colony, they decided that they would build a country upon this bedrock principle. And they deemed the cause of religious liberty higher than any other cause. They placed it foremost in the Bill of Rights, the words, "Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Amen. And because of their wisdom, we have been privileged to live in a brief space in time where we have the opportunity to speak our minds. Most Christians today, though, are content to simply keep their heads down, to work their daily task list. And you and I have most likely been there. Many pastors I know are only slightly more aware of their congregation, of the dangers that we are facing in our country. But events are happening around us today that are causing Christians to look up very rapidly, and what they're recognizing is that the world around them is burning. There has been a pillaging of the freedoms developed by our Christian fathers. And today, society has spurned the truth and even the idea that there can be absolute truth. And they've adopted the new doctrine of cultural relativism. And what a poison we play with. Today we've come to a generation who hold these hard-won rights very lightly. They've come to believe that even these sacred rights must be offered before the idol of political correctness, as if personal anarchy is what defines a free society. And that has brought us to a tremendous sense of unrest in our country. This ideology has led to the destruction of the framework of freedom. And the only way to restore this republic for you and I is for us as men and women of faith to stand together. Amen. And say, as our founders did, that there is something greater, someone bigger, a kingdom larger than any one life. And we, as ministers of the gospel of Christ, must speak up.
Yeah.
It is the pastor that is in charge of teaching the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that we are called to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I don't know if you've ever recognized this before, but 2/3 of that charge is negative. I hate to point that out. I'm very sanguine in my private life. You know, I love to get along with people. But you recognize, when you recognize sin, you are not allowed or given the privilege of silence. You are called to speak truth into the world around you. Romans chapter 13 tells us that every governing authority will be held responsible before God for the way He governs. That is not a call for us to roll over and just take it on the chin. Contrary to the statements of the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, you and I have the right and responsibility to speak out on issues that affect the faith of our congregations. When you have a government official as a member of your church, it is your responsibility as a pastor to call him to account as to how he governs and if he governs contrary to the will of God. Whether that be a city councilman or a state legislator or a congressman or a governor, it doesn't mean that you're telling them every aspect of how to do their job, but just helping them to understand that they must live out their faith in the public arena, and they have that duty. There is no wall of separation.
Amen.
Between one's Christianity and one's government work.
Amen. That's right.
Your faith views, or the lack thereof, is one of the greatest determining factors to your belief system. And politics is simply a reflection of those beliefs. But also, guess what here? In the United States of America, we have a unique form of government where every single citizen over the age of 18 is involved in government. They are voting members of the board. They have a grave and consequential responsibility. This responsibility is exercised most when they vote. And if one's faith is a tremendous determining factor into one's belief system, and politics is simply the reflection of that belief system, Pastor, what is your role in this country?
Good.
That is the reason why the First Amendment both stipulates freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion. What you do in your congregations is teach and encourage your flock to faithful governance of a country that they've inherited. This is not permitted or an optional extracurricular activity. They have a sacred duty to govern wisely. And that brings me to the Wyoming Pastoral Network. We have a name that is designed to reflect our mission. And I didn't realize there was actually a United States Pastoral Network as well. That was new to me just now. We picked this, and I really pushed for this particular name as well as several other guys because it really reflects what we're doing. And let me just tell you also, the experiences as a legislator have been wonderful. Because just in this last year, we've had the opportunity to really exercise the Wyoming Pastors Network. Last year, I carried a bill called the First Amendment Defense Act. And that bill was treated very roughly by people who do not believe that Christians have the right to speak out in the public arena. And the Pastors Network, for the first time, got together. And a large group of them came down to Cheyenne and filled the balconies. And I can tell you something. See, there's another group there that is a church group. It's a very, very small group of very few limited number of people that hold on to extreme left-wing ideology. But because of a rather ostentatious name, and you'll probably note that I'm not saying the name, because of a rather ostentatious name, when the newspaper calls and wants to find out what the Christian position is, they're generally the ones that are called. And they don't reflect the mainstream of Christianity in the state of Wyoming. So the Wyoming Pastoral Network was founded, and when we showed up and they lined the gallery, it suddenly hit everybody, wait a second, there's a different perspective out there. They met with the governor, and it was just a powerful, powerful thing. For me personally, also carrying this bill, to know that that many men were praying for me. But this is the reason why we've called it the Wyoming Pastoral Network. Let me start off with the word pastoral. This is a network focused on pastors. And the question is, why? Why don't we include all people or all Christians or even congregations? Well, it's because of a belief that we hold together that every pastor personally is given charge over his flock. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." As you well know, that word is the word for that we use today for bishop. This is a key thing. This is the role that you play to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Amen. So the Wyoming Pastors Network respects that God-given accountability. And no serious-minded pastor that I know of is willing to give unfettered access to the ears of his sheep, of the flock that God has given him the responsibility over. That describes you. The Wyoming Pastors Network doesn't want to insert itself between you and the flock in that God-given responsibility. Only the pastor is in the position with the members of his congregation to understand when and how and in what words and by what means information is best disseminated to that flock. Does that make sense? You with me? And so we don't insist that everyone react to the information that we give in exactly the same way, because we respect the role of the pastor. In all of these matters, the pastoral leader of a congregation is deferred to as the gatekeeper of information. And the Wyoming Pastors Network understands that. We support and defend the pastor's right to make these decisions. The only thing that we ask of the members of the network is that the information that we pass on would never be used in such a way to harm or undermine the stated goals of other members of the network. And so it is for that reason that we focus, first of all, on the pastoral network. Let me go back and also talk about Wyoming. We are focused on legislation within the state of Wyoming. We're not designed to tackle every nationwide debate that comes along. there are many wonderful organizations that actually do that for us now, but when those debates reach Wyoming and come down in the means of town ordinances or statewide legislation, we're trying to provide that immediate information for what's happening in your backyard to the pastor in the area. And so that's why we're there. Now, so I come back down to understanding the Wyoming aspect of this, and secondly, to helping you understand the pastoral network of this. When you come down to Wyoming pastoral network, I want you to also understand that word network. We didn't choose that lightly. That word has a precise description to it, and let me just tell you my background a little bit. I grew up in an independent, fundamental, premillennial, hickory log style Baptist preacher's home, okay? And one thing that we are well known for is fighting, if anything else. And so we're not into organizations or anything else. We'll come to find out there's a lot of other people that understand that too. This is not an ecumenical movement. It's a precise description of something that we're trying to accomplish. And Brother Pence will mention this in just a moment. The word association or organization or coalition or fellowship speaks of a kind of unity that we're not aiming for or claim to try to achieve. Those many times devolve into disagreements about theological questions. And you may really, really enjoy discussing the virtues of Augustine versus Pelagius, and you may have personally studied Codex Sinaiticus and Vaticanus and understand its virtues or non-virtues versus the Byzantine text type, but that's all well and good. But this isn't the forum for those kind of discussions. When it comes to a few very specific issues, we need a unified voice that speaks truth into the world around us. And we need every willing soldier manning the walls. Amen. And we can't argue about the color of the uniforms when the enemies are burning the gates. So network indicates one thing and one thing only. That is the flow of information from basically Cheyenne or different towns or town councils or county commissioners to pastors across the state. It gives us an opportunity to pray for one another and bear one another's burdens. It's a particular kind of information as well. We don't want to threaten the doctrinal integrity of any church congregation. We are not an ecumenical endeavor. We're not involved in the process of unifying separated brethren. Nor are we in the business of discussing which agreements are serious enough to warrant division and which is not. Instead, we're about cooperation, that is joint working rather than coordination, which is we're less about cooperation and more about coordination. We want synchronized working across the state. We're not demanding that everybody come together in some big thing all the time. So, we exist, very briefly, because we share a conviction that the sanctity of marriage is good for all men and women and children. We share the sanctity of life, that it is good for mother and child alike, and we uphold the free exercise of religion and believe that it is good for all of America. And you may have a particular and nuanced theology, and Wyoming Pastors Network is not designed to change your message one whit. The goal, though, is to supply information so that you can instruct your congregation in matters in which they need to know what's happening in their life. That is the end of what I wanted to tell you about with Wyoming Pastors Network. I understand that we're going to have the opportunity to ask questions here in just a moment, and so I'd like to invite the moderator up at this time.
One of the things we want to do today is give you a chance to ask a couple of questions. We're on a tight schedule. We understand how valuable your time is, so this is going to go pretty quick. We're probably only going to have a chance for a couple of questions. So is there anybody has a specific question, maybe not a statement, but a question about this? Or
I appreciate it very much. I think it would be all good. Just the example you gave,
yes.
Could you give a few more examples, I think, for those of us that are new, with helpful to see what you've actually done in Wyoming as far as
Certainly. There's a couple things that we've done. And because there is a network like this, we've been able to bring individuals in, starting off, first of all, with the Alliance Defending Freedom. They came into Cheyenne at this point about a year and a half or 2 years ago. And they had some experts in this area that have worked in a number of campaigns come in and instruct pastors on what to say and what not to say if you are ever interviewed on issues.
Joe Franco's been here.
Oh, great, great. So you guys have, I understand you guys have had ADF. Good. That was one of the major things, too, because sometimes we pastors, we run on and on and on. So that's one. Two, we have also begun to build a list of individuals that are on an email list. We have three gentlemen in charge of that, three pastors, and they've done an excellent job at disseminating information. And they're able to, for instance, when I carry a bill, like for instance this year, I'm carrying a bill, it's all done and everything, I still am choosing between two names for it, either the First Amendment Defense Act or the Government Non-Discrimination Act. But anyway, we're working on that right now. It's really a protection of the civil rights of a Christian to speak into the public arena. But we'll be able to keep pastors up to date with that and also other bills that are coming on. So that's step number two. Thirdly, we've also, about once a year thus far, we've tried to get together and provide an opportunity to bring someone in. So this last year we brought in a man that you guys will have in July. I cannot speak with enough superlatives of this man's ability to help us. His name is Ryan Anderson, and he's with the Heritage Foundation, which is great all on its own. So those are some of the things we've done. We're still just standing this up in some ways, but those are some of the early things that we've begun. They have and they haven't. What we've done, because again, this is geared toward pastors specifically. So there's a different group called YWatch, and they are specifically designed for the individual Christian in Wyoming. And so they disseminate information in a different way. Whereas we as Wyoming Pastors Network are specifically designed towards pastors. So the average congregant doesn't really know about all the details of Wyoming Pastors Network. The deacons, the church elders may know, just because their pastor may inform them that they're going off to a meeting or something. But what we're designing this to do is to inform pastors, again, because of the network nature of what we're trying to stand up here.
And you do work with YWatch too, Parker?
That's correct. We do work with other like-minded organizations like that. Okay, well, first of all, you raised something that I want to say as well as what information flows. First of all, the individuals that are members of the network sign a statement that they believe a certain basic number of things, really the three things about life, marriage, and religious freedom. And so if a person has a problem with that, this is not really the network for them. So, and that's also where we focus our information as well. So then there's the flow of information from the state capitol or things like that. Really, the network is able to contact those guys, and then they disseminate the information. That's the nature of that network. It's a two-way flow of information. If something's happening in Thermopolis, I can contact those guys. They can contact the rest of the state so that they can pray together, but also be aware of the fact that this battle may occur in their backyard as well.
Comments that you just made, your vision casting, so to speak,
yes, sir,
that you just declared right now, it seems to me that if that was even preached from every evangelical pulpit, that would make a huge change in the way the election process goes. It's just by that alone.
Yes,
sir. What I was going to ask is there some sort of a printed version of what you just presented so people can personalize it and use it for their own congregations?
Well, even what I just said is not necessarily part of my notes. I scramble all over the place. So I suppose with it is being recorded, and so that may be a possibility. But yes, sir, I appreciate that very much. The fact that, see, that's the historic right. If you go to David Barton's site called Wall Builders, you can see how pastors preached on every single issue you would approach in government at that time. They would have a they would preach law. They would preach an entire sermon on taxation. Wouldn't that be great? And so they were deeply involved historically in this country. When you look at the number of trained seminarians who signed the Declaration of Independence, you come to an understanding that this is a specifically Christian nation. John Jay pointed that out early on, that we are a Christian nation. And it's very crucial that we understand the importance of this remaining a Christian nation. Yes, sir.
Not Obama.
Amen. That's right. You said that in Turkish Parliament.
Do you want to touch on the tax exempt thing where a lot of pastors are somewhat hesitant to address these issues because they perceive there might be a violation of IRS statutes?
Right. Well, the question was, there are a lot of pastors that are terrified to speak on these issues because they're afraid of losing their tax-exempt status. And I understand the fear, but if you contact Alliance Defending Freedom, CLA, the Christian Law Association, or ACLU, ACLJ, you know, that is one acronym that last letter means a whole lot, I tell you what. They will let you know that you have the right to speak truth into the world around you. Now, what they also encourage you not to do is to speak about a particular candidate or a particular ballot measure. And so, basically staying away from ballot measures and particular races in that way, you can speak truth. By the way, the Scripture has everything to talk about with the major issues that we're facing today. And you have the right, or the rare privilege in this country, to speak out to them. And I think that we must speak out to them. So don't worry about the tax-exempt status. Now, as far as the Wyoming Pastors Network, of course, we're just disseminating information in a different way, just pastor to pastor. All right. Yes, sir?
I was going to mention, too, that, Jeff, there are a couple of the ADF guidelines on protecting ministries. Back on the back table. If you don't have one of these, talk to Jeff Laszloff. Raise your hand.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Any other questions? Comments? One of the things I'll tell you going through the NDO here in Billings, and I think it's critical that every one of you hear this, it was so critical to the elected officials on the council to be hearing from their pastors.
That's right.
Sometimes, you know, we pick our sandboxes and we stay in them. And the politicians, they get that sandbox and you'll deal with it here. And I'll tell you, it was valuable for us to hear that we had your support, that you were there praying, that you were there, you were present. And so don't be afraid to reach out to those people in your community that are your elected officials and share. Because I'll tell you right now, and you probably experience this, you love that counseling. You love that. Sometimes you, as elected officials, we need somewhere to turn to. Somebody that to bounce things off of, to have that discussion, because of everything being so politically correct, sometimes we don't even know where to turn or how to do that. And we need to hear that voice. We need to hear that counseling as well.
May I add one thing?
It's very important.
I'd like to add one thing as well. And you have the privilege of being able to make decisions in your hometown, which is wonderful. You have your support group right here, your pastors and everything. It's also important. How far is Helena from here?
3.5 hours.
Can I just say that even if it's that far, the members of the legislature there need to hear from you. They need to hear from the pastors within their local community. And you know as well as I that a face-to-face conversation carries weight. And so I know sometimes that it's a challenge. It's the cost of time and effort. But in this particular phase of the war, of the culture war, I would ask for you to really consider being actively involved no matter where the battle is occurring. And so not just if it's in your backyard, but also go to Helena if need be, and if God gives you leave to do so. It is important. And so I just wanted to add that as well. That is an important thing. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. Personally, I want to thank you. If you don't have one of these,
that you got at the door, Nancy will give you one. Would you raise your hand if you do not have one of these? Okay. Good work. I want to do a little bit of that. We do feel that the three issues that were mentioned, the religious liberty, the sanctity of marriage, and the sanctity of life, are issues that are worth us cooperating about in order to have a more common voice. And those will be the exclusive things that the Montana Pastors Association, or
Network,
thank you. I'll talk about the word network also, is going to focus on. First, let me reemphasize that there is an offering box. Help us pay for this pastor's time and trouble to travel 400 miles to be with us. Last fall, I had the good fortune, a friend of Powell from Powell, Wyoming, introduced me to the Wyoming Pastors Network. And so I got to start to converse with Jonathan Lang, a Missouri Synod pastor, Tim Moyer from Emmanuel Baptist in the great town of Thane. How many of you know where Thane is? It's this little bitty burg south of Jackson. And Sean Sells, Calvary Chapel. Now think about this for a second. An independent fundamental Baptist, a Lutheran, and a charismatic.
Walk into a bar.
If they can work together, and they do, I mean, it's amazing. These guys... Long story short, they invited us to our conference, to their conference in Casper, and they not only did that, but they took the time to have breakfast with Nancy and I during that time. And let me tell you, these guys do work together. And in terms of vetting, somebody asked a question about vetting. These guys are informed enough that they do a pretty good job of vetting information. Well, what did we see there? Well, first of all, what we didn't see. We didn't see a lot of pressure on pastors to do this or that or say this or that. And we didn't see a lot of hype. What we did see is a lot of wisdom and carefulness and a loving patience as they knit together, this is true. We sat in the banquet where he was the speaker, Nathan was the speaker, beside a Greek Orthodox guy. Catholics, Baptists, Foursquare, Assembly of God, and everything in between.
Yeah.
And that spoke to our hearts. They allowed me to go to their members-only meeting, and it was a great discussion as they talked about their issues that they're progressing on. They talked about where they need to grow. But one thing in particular really caught my attention. Pastor Sean shared, and I'm going to get to talk while they're distributing food, so you got to listen well. Pastor Sean talked about the day after a judge in Wyoming made same-sex marriage legal. That happened just like in Montana. He got a phone call. You guessed it? He had an opportunity to do a gay wedding. But what really sobered me was this. He went on and he said, one of the next phone calls I got was from my insurance agent. Yeah. And he started to ask Pastor Sean, he said, I understand you have a retreat center that you rent out. Who gets to use that? Do you do weddings for people outside of your church? Do you do funerals for people outside of your church? And I'll tell you what, the liability issues are coming at you. They are. Now, if you'll pick up that handout that I referred, let me walk you through a couple things just really quickly if we can. On the second sheet, there is a proposed agreement, and it's a sample. And also, there's a sample digest, which is page 3. And I want to go back and forth about those two just a little bit. In time, we intend to start a web page. And what the Wyoming Pastors Network did was they basically set their agreement, their their statement out, and then if you agreed with that statement, then you would send to one of these three pastors something that just said, I agree, and you'd be put on this confidential list. And let's look at that draft just for a minute. Under a mission, I'm just going to read a couple of things. Our mission. In recognition that our religious values are increasingly being threatened, religious leaders from across the state are forming, in Montana, a pastor's network. Our focus will be on the three issues that I've mentioned. We believe that this focus encompasses the major issues that confront our culture today. Our purpose is to unite our efforts in order to speak out in our communities and the state with a more influential voice. We are a network. And again, I'm going to refer to the word network, a word carefully chosen to describe what we are, no more and no less. The word association, those kinds of words, describe a unity of being that we are not striving to be. And we are not going to have a doctrinal statement. The network implies the real-time sharing of information on those areas. Why the challenge to engage? Pastor Nathan has already mentioned the fact that I believe that we as a people have the duty and the responsibility to speak about God's given opportunities in government. Montana Pastors Network is interested in the good of the culture, and this change is not some, as he mentioned, extracurricular activity. But we are called to preach and to disseminate the whole counsel of God. Under function in your outline, MPN thrives to share the kind of information that will not, and catch this please, will not threaten the doctrinal integrity of those who receive it. Above all, we are a protected email list. We will supply regular bulletins with links to articles with short summaries, local state government legislation issues, and so forth. We do not intend to dictate what you do with that information.
Right.
Now let's look at page 3 a little bit, and I want to just reference the network digest. This is something that Wyoming also does, and it's basically something that they send out about monthly, and I've just done an example. And so under religious liberty, there's several articles there. One of them is the three historic developments that explain our cultural religious liberty battles. And that's a Ryan T. Anderson issue. We'll talk about more. Under marriage, one of the issues that I mentioned is the focus on the family. University of Texas study. If you haven't read this, I highly recommend it to you, by the way. This is a documentation of the good or bad that's happening to the children in same-sex marriages as compared to traditional marriage. Under life issues, you can see what I did, but there's one thing I want to draw your attention to. Under life issues, I mentioned there's an illustration there of a choice that you may or may not like. It's a subject on bioethics. You may not be into bioethics. You may not agree with it. And the point of bringing that to your attention is that everything that will be here will not be useful to you. Everything that's on the digest may not be something you would necessarily agree with. But we want to challenge and disseminate information on a broad scale. The information will be tailored to three issues. To inform you and then allow you to inform your people. To work together on local issues. For example, in sharing with Jonathan in Wyoming, if they've got an NDO going on in Casper, they can rally their forces in that area to work on that. Or to coordinate for newsletters, letters to the editor. And also, during the legislation session, we will particularly focus on legislative issues. Now back to the agreement for just a minute. Notice in the list agreement, I want to point to you a couple things. When I signed the Montana Pastor Network list, I agreed to the following understandings. And you can go home and read this, if I can have your attention. I particularly want to say that my membership neither expresses nor implies agreement in all points of doctrine, nor minimizes the doctrinal differences with other members who share this particular organization. That's very important to us. So it's a private, confidential list. There are many means in which, many subjects that we could talk about, as Nathan mentioned. We want to focus on the three things that we feel like we can get broad agreement on and do have an influence in the culture. In the long run, we are a work under construction, and we understand that. We hope to disseminate information in two basic ways. First of all, we will have a website, and then and on that website, one of the things we'll do is a confidential list of people that say, I agree, I want to be on this list. In Wyoming, they have about 200 on the list right now. The second thing is definitely under construction. We want to find a way to network so that you can discover who's on the network, and we might do that through a controlled Facebook, something of that nature. Now, finally, I want to talk about the statewide kickoff. If you look at page 4 of your outline, July 22nd and 23rd, we're going to have Dr. Ryan T. Anderson from the Heritage Foundation, who also writes for the Weatherspoon Institute in Billings. Gentlemen and ladies, in my prejudiced view, as one of my friends said, there isn't a better person on the planet when it comes to marriage and religious liberty than Ryan T. Anderson. We're hoping that you will help us draw people from across the state to that time where we hope to have a time with Ryan just for pastors as well. And so we encourage you to be there. We also are talking about the possibility of having local meetings where we might drive a couple of us to Kalispell, Helena, Great Falls, and do those kinds of things. Again, thank you for coming. And if you haven't signed our list on our email, please do that.
Okay, brothers and sisters, now calories are going in and minds are slowing down. So that's the way of it. But we have a few minutes left, and we just want to tie up a few loose ends. We'll start with a question way back here.
Yeah, Terry, is it? Terry?
Yes.
I'm assuming this is exclusive to Christians or not?
Yes.
And if so, might it be helpful to make that clear? Most Christians, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, are familiar with the Nicene Creed. This has a creedal statement to say,
yeah, I don't. Weeby can help us out a little bit. How you made that distinction? Because that will be significant, I'm sure. There are some who will self-describe as Christians. That
we've made that clear with the description of the word pastoral. And so when we talk about Christian, obviously a pastor is the overseer, the bishop of a local visible assembly, an ecclesia. And so in that particular way, it does make it exclusive. And also, they have to sign these three areas. Now, I will also say that we have had at our meeting several individuals. For instance, the Wyoming bishop, Catholic bishop, has sent a representative and several different times. And also the Wyoming Catholic College, the president of the college has come several times. We've also had a couple Mormons show up. So in this particular case, we're trying to make it clear that it's a pastoral network that's bound around three different individual things. And so there is, again, coming back to that issue of doctrine, we're not trying to focus in. We're trying to focus in on three things specifically.
So those three concepts will probably limit quite a few people as well. Please.
I would say what we've got to try to do there is if a person confesses his faith in Christ, we don't want to challenge that faith. But I understand what you're saying is there's a lot of people that is very interested in what we're doing here that has no commitment to Christ, but very moral, good people. And but this is really nice to try to unite our pastoral brethren across the state and create a unity of bondage to help and work together for these three major causes. And I think I'm not going to question your confession of faith out loud.
I do think it's a great question, Alfred, and I think one of the things that Christopher Schrock, wherever you are, made a suggestion that quietly in the leadership you maintain that focus where there is some creedal agreement.
Very good. That is one loose end that we haven't discussed. Brother Hall brought us all together here a couple of weeks ago, and the gentleman at the table here volunteered to try to start kicking this off. There is nothing that says this group is going to stay this way. We haven't thought through how we might form this board. You notice on the papers we're called interim, whatever it was, interim something. So we haven't gotten that far, but we will be listening carefully if you have suggestions as to how to proceed from there. But at the outset, these gentlemen are going to be doing some work together to try and shape this up so we know, can answer questions like that a little bit more definitively. Also, at the outset, it'll be this group that will be kind of making the determination what kind of information someone asked that, how the information will be vetted. It would have to be this group at the outset that will vet the information that will go out to the rest of the folks.